This is Ryan.
And this is Wayne.
This is for the Rabbit Podcast. I think this is, well, we were just talking about some stuff, which we'll touch on in the primary goal, I guess, later on in the show, is to kind of discuss some upcoming things. But I guess first, kind of what you were talking about getting bogged down in the details of stuff. And I think like with my board that I have on all the things I track now, I think in the past with like tracking metrics on things in your life of like how often you did this or what's your runtime or all that other stuff seemed really frustrating for me because I felt like it was like boxing me in or I felt like it was overkill.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like you're like, you know, check the box if you did this, the other. I think as of late, I think it's been exciting, the more data that I have, to see like progress in things that you didn't think there was progress. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like, I think it's just like how you approach the details and the data that can either work for you or become more frustrating, or you just get inundated in what you did or didn't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I've been trying to do. I still, even today, I haven't finished all the things that I have planned to do on a daily basis, but it's getting better. It's just kind of the realization that sometimes you're not going to get to those things because there's just not enough time. Or you have something come up with work. But I mean, at least I prioritized it, so I'm doing the first priority stuff. I'm almost there with some of the new languages, which I'm learning 4 languages that are new.
So
it can be overwhelming at times.
Oh yeah. We're not talking about Chinese and Russian and whatever, but we're
no.
Programming languages, huh?
Yeah, and like frameworks and like how they do stuff. It's like, you know, it's very different. It's very cool to see, like, the more I'm learning these things, the better I get at my job. Like, I've noticed that I'm much more effective at my job because I view it more as like, accomplish this, do this, move on to the next thing, as opposed to here's 8 hours, just do your job and clock out.
Right.
So with focusing on all these tasks, I've noticed that I've gotten a lot better at even at doing my job.
Hmm.
But I feel that it's like we were talking last week about the podcast of in the beginning, the podcast was created as an impetus towards doing something. I think that from both of us, we felt that we were spinning our wheels. We weren't entirely sure as far as direction on things that we wanted to do or work on. Just like getting back into what you're passionate about doing. That was a big issue. So we started the podcast to tackle those types of issues of why you're not getting things done. Why do you procrastinate? Why are you not working on what you want to be working on? Why do you put it off? I think that we've successfully accomplished flushing that out. So at that point, the podcast changes into more of a next level type situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have direction, you have vision. So now it's just putting the nuts and bolts together to actually make it work and all the troubles that come with that.
So let's talk about your vision. Where do you see, what do you see more clearly now than you did before?
I think mine is a combination of having run a company in the past, having certain ruts that I was in with relationships, with how I chose to spend my time, and excuses that I told myself as to why I can't do something, why I'm not doing something, stuff of that nature. So I think what's changed for me is that I've come in close contact with being able to see more of my potential and exercising that potential. So instead of, like, I'm very good at talking about things, but I think that what I've gained access to is how to actually put action to it. Does that make sense? So I've gotten back into all the engineering and scientific endeavors that I wanted to do when I was in high school. So I've gotten back into all of those passion projects. I have a clear vision as far as what I want to do with the company in the future. So now it's more of a vision of how to exit my company that I work for to start my own business and what that looks like. It, as the end goal, not tomorrow, but that's come into focus. Before I feel that I was scared because my last company didn't exactly thrive. It did fine, but it wasn't the knock it out of the park story that I wanted it to be, which is never the case. Like, I read a magazine article that said you have to start 5 businesses before you'll be successful. I thought that was hilarious at the time. Hmm. Now I understand why. It's hard. It's really, really hard. But that shouldn't be your focus. And so I feel that my focus has changed to, I know what the direction is. I know what the vision of the company is. It's more of building it out so you have some type of a minimum viable product to see if it's going to even work. Or not if it's going to work. It's going to work because you're going to will it to happen. And it just kind of has to be a thing that you do, that you just keep pushing until it gets off the ground. That's the other thing that I really realized. It's not about, you shouldn't base all of your life decisions on everyone else's opinion, because their opinion more times than not is worthless. They have no, they're coming from a place of inexperience and ignorance, and they're trying to give you advice on a business that they know nothing about. But you take that as gold.
Well,
like, oh, you shouldn't do it.
And it's your dream. It's your vision. And the thing of it is, you've got something that isn't crystal clear. It's clear enough to be compelling and motivate you towards achieving it, but it's still not totally clear as far as what all the steps are in order to bring it about, which is, you know, the case whenever anybody has something bigger than themselves that they're setting out to achieve. You really don't know exactly how you're going to get there, because if you did, you'd be there already, right?
I know enough to know what are the next steps, and I'm actively doing those steps. As of before, you would ask me, you want to start another company? What kind of company do you want to start? I had no idea. Right? I wanted to start a bunch of. So what I did is I went through this brainstorming process. I wrote down everything I was good at, everything I liked, everything from like theoretical physics to robots. So then one by one, I took it as, is this a viable option? Video game development was on my list. Can you write a video game that will compete with Tom Clancy games? No. Not on your life. An indie developer, you're typically broke because you're not a huge label. So that's out. If the goal is to not really have to work, that doesn't accomplish that goal. You're poor and you work all the time. You can hit it big and you can do that, but like, you have to be writing games since you were 10 and that's the only thing you've ever done. And that's not me. I just don't have that. I don't want something that I love to become a job. So one by one, I went through all the things I brainstormed at and knocked them out. And I ended up with automation, like the most boring, but it's what I get hired to do as an expert. People hire me for my expertise and automating systems that they're unsure if they can be automated. And that's the core of my business that will be in the future. So it's something you know how to do, something you have expertise in, something that people come to you and they're knocking down your door to get advice from you and wanting to hire you. That's probably where you want to focus. Do what you know.
Yeah. That's good.
So that's what's changed for me. Before the podcast started, I had no idea. Like, I want to be rich. Like, and that's just such a, everybody wants to be rich. That doesn't help you.
Right. With no real understanding of what that requires, or even if you'd be happy in the process. We think about what we would feel like once we were rich, and that sounds good because I can do this and buy that and whatever, but obviously nobody's going to throw a bunch of money in your lap. You're going to have to work for it unless you win the lottery. And what are the chances of that happening? So,
yeah. Well, and like I said about the excuses, I think the biggest advancement for me through the process of doing the podcast is really asking yourself the honest question. Like when I was working on the home automation stuff, okay, you have 100,000 customers. What do you do? Exactly. Mm-hmm. You have no clue what you're doing. That's okay. So it's very healthy and good for you to have that realization that you have no idea what you're doing, but that creates questions that you need to answer in order to formulate that business, right? Like I was watching that video of this first successful SpaceX. They put a satellite into orbit, which is docking either today or already docked with the International Space Station. That's never happened for SpaceX. SpaceX has been developing rockets that literally travel to orbit. The boosters detach. They fly themselves back, land vertically, from which they left.
Wow.
Like the engineering, it boggles the mind how that's even possible. It's like shooting a bullet and having a bullet come back and land inside the chamber. It's crazy. But they did it. But they were willing, but it was all the years and years of research, of questions, of trying to, they captured that vision. So I think in the beginning of the podcast in and of itself was for us to shore up procrastination and really kind of focus on what we're passionate about, which I feel that we've accomplished. I feel that we know the direction, right? It's not that I have a company and it's running, not even close. It's still in infancy. It's still like, still not even a zygote. So it's just like, and for you, it's been the writing situation where you're entertaining writing the book and then you're going through and now you're struggling with the question of, do I even want to do this? So I think that going to the next level with the podcast, because it's not about, I don't know if it's, and you correct me if I'm wrong, do you feel that it's still about procrastination?
Well, for me, procrastination has been a problem for sure, and but as we're talking about, you know, capturing this vision that we're moving towards, you obviously are a little bit more clear on what it is that you're shooting for. One of the benefits that of this whole process has been for me, and this has, you know, if you don't really know why you're not pursuing something, mm-hmm. and you've had various people have said, hey, you're pretty good at this. You ought to do this. Okay. And so you try it for a while and it isn't going really well. It's kind of getting bogged down like the writing was. And so I'm thinking, okay, do I really want to do this? When, if I looked at it realistically, what really happened was I started writing. And then I realized, what have you written? In the past, I've written various things, but nothing on this scope. This is a huge leap. If you go from writing, like, say, poetry to writing a novel, that's a huge leap. You know, lots of people write poetry. And that's fine, and that's good. Obviously, some is better than others. But if you jump to a different genre, like writing a book where you're writing narrative and you're writing dialogue and you're doing character building, and in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you know what? I want this to be really a stellar effort, which means I want people to end up reading this and saying, wow, okay. Well, that means you've really got to take a hard look at what's required to write at that level. And I've never written at that level before, okay? So I stood back for a while, kind of shuddering in fear and cowering in the corner for a while, thinking, God, I don't know, this is really hard. But you don't want to say no to something merely because it's difficult, okay? Mm-hmm. I was talking to you before the podcast about this book that I'm reading, where the author is saying, you know, if you're not careful, you'll spend too much time thinking about how you're going to get somewhere, rather than clarifying what it is you really want to do, and realizing that those are two separate things. They both have to be there. You have to know how, yes, you're going to get somewhere, but primarily, first of all, you need to know what it is you want to do, and that has to be far more solidified to the extent where it becomes a compelling draw to you. For instance, in this case, to have it clearly in my mind, this book and what it's going to look like and just things about it that are going to be exciting to me, that are going to be, like I say, compelling. Wow, I can see it. I can see it sitting on the bestseller list. I can see it sitting on the shelf and people wanting to read it. And finding myself really believing in that. Now, how I'm going to get there, that needs to come too. But the one has to come before the other. And where I got bogged down is I sat there and I thought, as I got into writing and I realized how difficult it was, I began to think, wow, there's so much I don't know. There's so much I need to learn in order to do this. And it just kind of, paralyzed me. And I thought, wow, I don't know if I can do this. Well, duh. Anybody who's done any serious writing, if you look at their life and what they had to do in order to get there, they didn't just wake up one day thinking they're going to write a novel. Mm-hmm. This had to be a process. There had to be learning. There had to be a desire that was strong enough to get over the roadblocks and the hurdles, because there are things like that. There's personal issues like procrastination and habits. You've got to stop making excuses, but you do need to develop some habits of writing on a regular basis. And you've got to keep the dream in front of you. Mm-hmm. If the dream starts to dissipate, if it starts to weaken, it's not going to take much to persuade you to give it up. Okay?
Well, and if it seems, for the most part, like if the dream is starting to die, from what I've observed, because now I'm... Like I said, like the guy that did the 4-hour body and the 4-hour work week and all that stuff, he like calculated and wrote everything down, like how can you lose weight by putting cinnamon in your coffee, like crazy stuff, right? But he did all the experimentation on himself. I read that and I'm like, oh my God, like he'll give me an anxiety attack. But then it's because I wasn't there, right? My dream was in its infancy. The company idea was in its infancy. It was only through the time and the struggle and the realizing what's important through all these things that I've been doing that I get, if you don't feed the dream, it dies. Like getting right back to the basics of what it is that I'm doing. And so now I've gotten a lot better at, like I look at all the things in my office that I have in my office now. Before I had no, my whiteboard I would use to write calculations down, so that when people saw my office, they would be like, oh my God, like he's really smart. What is all this? But I wouldn't change any of it. It was just set in stone. It was an idea, like the most outlandish idea I had, so that I could show people how smart I am and how ingenious I am. But the whiteboard in and of itself as a medium is supposed to be very liquid. You erase things, write new things. That's what it's for. It's for your process. It's for things and ideas that you're mulling over in your head that haven't really solidified yet.
Right.
But I didn't know that. So now, like, that board is used to track metrics on how good I'm doing or bad I'm doing with stuff. And then if it's too bad for too long, it's more of an evaluation of, is this something you really want to get into, or you just want to drop it? Right. And so in the other board, I bought another board that I write all the ideas on. And that's where all the fluidity happens with things that I'm working out. You know, I wanted to do piano, so I bought a keyboard. Things like that would have blown my mind before. Like, You really need to get back into music. Well, why don't you look at buying a keyboard? Because I didn't even think to that step. It was more of a nice thought that, and like I said, me getting over the habit of making excuses for myself was a game changer. You want to do the piano? Buy the keyboard. Well, you know, I don't know. I was thinking I was going to slate that for like the next 4 months. It's like, but why? Like, what is the issue? And so for me, I like to keep things in ambiguity. I don't like the getting nailed down on things, because that makes me very uncomfortable, because then I have to do it. But then you have to ask yourself, am I really going to do it? Because if I'm not, so now I know better. Like, now when I work on certain projects, like the other day I was working on something and I was writing down the steps to how to do it. But then I was like, why are you writing down steps of something that you don't even know if it works? And it didn't work. So it's like, just get it to work and then write the steps down. But like, in my brain, I want to plan things out so much that you lose the point of what it is you're trying to do. If it doesn't work, it can be super complex and beautiful and amazing on paper, but it doesn't work.
Right.
So it's not a viable option. So now the dry erase board gets erased all the time, just because it's like, that's what it's for. It's for you to work it out so that you can see it from your mind. But I didn't know about any of those tools before. So like you're saying about the book, like for you to go from writing a poem to writing a book on paper sounds maybe like a natural progression, like you skipped a few steps. But it's only in practice that you realize I'm way in over my head. There has to be steps in between.
Right. And as in any major leap like that, you've got to ease up on yourself as far as your expectations, particularly where those expectations become so daunting that you don't even start. Because you feel so inadequate that, wow, I can't do that. Well, wait a minute. You have to start somewhere. Find a good place to start. And so for me, I haven't sat down to write in quite a while now. But as I'm thinking, why do I think that is? I think because one of the things that again, this book that I'm reading. Sorry, I can't even remember the name of it now, but it clarified something to me that I thought was really good. Just saying that so often a dream isn't your dream. It's somebody else's dream. It's something somebody else suggested. And so, you never really took ownership of that dream and made it yours. It was, and it's almost like, okay, so if it doesn't work out, I can always blame that other person who thought I should do this. No. This really has to be yours. And so it's worth spending the time to really sit down and think about what is it you're good at? What is it that, you know, you really like about yourself? And a lot of those things that you really like about yourself have a lot to do with where your passion is. Like for me, for instance, I really like my sense of humor. And I find myself, as I'm saying that, I think, God, that sounds kind of arrogant.
But not really. I really enjoy my sense of humor. Matter of fact, I crack myself up. I mean, there's times when I'll be thinking of something and I'll just break out laughing about it. And I'll know better than to share it with maybe the person I'm with, because they probably won't understand. But I think it's just hilarious. I remember one time when I was up in front of a group of people, and there was this woman in the group, and she was listening to me talk. And afterwards, she said, "Did you ever think about being a stand-up comedian?" I said, and I wasn't trying to be hilarious or anything up there, but she really thought I was communicating in a humorous way, and she just loved it. And I thought about that for a while. I thought, well, you know, there are ways that I communicate. There are ways that I think about things that I really enjoy. I really enjoy engaging in ideas and thinking deeper and finding ways to communicate that. And sometimes it's through talking and conversation, but sometimes it's through writing something and thinking, wow, that's really cool. I really like that. So I've had to think about the writing thing. And again, we've talked about the book that I'm writing was a fiction book, and about a story that I used to tell to you kids when you were younger. But there's other types of thinking, of types of writing that I've often asked myself, maybe I should consider trying to do a little of this kind of writing, not just strictly in one genre. Because quite frankly, most of the books I read are not fiction. I very seldom read fiction. Most of the time I'm reading something that's a deep, thought-provoking book written by somebody on a particular subject. So it's not fiction. Well, I'm drawn to that. Okay, so maybe I would enjoy writing a little in that area, you know, and just seeing how that goes.
Historical fiction?
What's that?
Like historical fiction? I think there's a show called The Man in the High Castle, which is like if Germany had won World War II, like all the events that would happen after.
Right. Well, this is not even fiction. This is I'm talking about nonfiction stuff. But
Well, no, I was saying that's a hybrid. So it's a hybrid of like historically accurate things, but then using that as like a template, and then as like a jumping point and adding your own pizzazz to it.
Yeah, it's kind of embellishing it, you know, filling in the blanks, because historical facts can be a little bit dry at times. And plus, you don't really know. There was other things going on at the time. So I understand where you're coming from. I have had to stand back and just ask myself, what is my dream? What was it that what is there that I'm reaching for that's compelling to me? And I think part of it is it's got to be something that you've thought about. It's got to be something that you take ownership of. It can't be just something that somebody has suggested that you should do. It's got to be something that you really want to do to the extent that you're willing to, not just willing to, but wanting to share it with others. Share this compulsion you have to start a business or to climb a mountain, or what is it that you really want to do? Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, too many times I think I found myself wanting to do something not strictly because I wanted to do it, but because someone else thought I should. And I think part of our process in going through all of this that's helped me is I've begun to realize that I really haven't been honest with myself at times about what it is that I want to do. And so it's almost like kind of going back to the drawing board and saying, let's just scratch all that stuff for the moment. Maybe you'll come back around and say, yeah, you do want to write this book, but it ought to be in with honest and pure motives that this is really what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And then this other thing that I'm talking to you about, the whole idea of the how and the when. You've got to have a strategy, but you have to have this compelling vision that comes up first. You've got to spend the time thinking of what that compelling vision is going to be. And then don't let the how invade your thinking too much, because I think I've gotten scared when I realized how difficult something was going to be to accomplish. I've held back because it starts getting really hard and I don't want to do next. And I'm thinking, wow, maybe I shouldn't do that. Instead of staying there long enough and thinking it through or maybe talking to somebody. I think this is what part of what's good for you and me to talk about these things, because there's aspects of your personality and your journey that have really encouraged me. When you didn't know what to do in certain situations, you didn't necessarily quit. You sat and thought about it. Having nothing on the board at all, where am I going from here? But you just sat and you thought about it. And I thought, wow, that's encouraging, because my tendency would be to, there's nothing on the board, I'm leaving the room, I'm going another direction.
Yeah.
Rather than sitting there.
Indicative of I'm going in the wrong direction.
Yeah. So that's part of the beauty of not walking the journey alone, because you really do need the input of others who can say, you know, honestly, I think you're on the right track. I don't think you should quit at this point, but maybe just kind of think a little bit longer, or maybe entertain this over here. Just getting some input from outside of yourself, from somebody who knows you. And that's where, as we talk and we get to know each other better, even though you're my son, I'm your dad, that doesn't mean, apart from these discussions, that you knew all these things that are coming out beforehand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're still individuals, even though we, you know, you grew up in my house and I was your dad, and you observed a lot of different things, but you didn't necessarily know why I did or why I didn't do many of the things in my life. Mm-hmm. And so the journey going together has been very profitable for me.
No, I think it's been essential with like, and especially like the journey of an entrepreneur, which I would loop in writers with that as well. It's just a different, fellow entrepreneurs will be like, that's awesome. Everyone else will be like, that's crazy. Like, why would you do that? That's so dumb. Why would you quit your job to start a dumb business that you don't know what it's going to do when you already know what your paycheck is?
Yeah.
Like, I'll roll the dice every day, which is very uncomfortable for those types of people. But it's just, entrepreneurs are rare. They're not everywhere. But realizing that your tribe is not those people, right? Like, you keep going to those people to ask advice. And the thing that I've learned, too, is everybody's a crit. Either people, so I shy away from two kinds of people. The ones that say, everything you do is amazing. You can do no wrong. They probably don't, they're probably being nice to you, and they're not, or it's either they're being really nice with you, or they're not really taking what you're saying seriously enough to actually offer real advice, right? It's just to be like, yeah, that's nice, that's cool. Which I have to admit, I've done it myself. And then there's the other people that everything is wrong. Let me criticize everything. And it's like, okay, well, you try to build something out of nothing. And it's like, well, you know. So just learning to have that perspective. All those interactions are beneficial for the future and for how you formulate your vision. But just remember that it's yours.
Right.
Like you were saying about the writing, do I want to write? Right? And I think that's the question of 2018. And 2019 for you was boiling it down to that question of like, is this what I want to do? And I think that's a very valid question.
Well,
and I think a lot of people get scared and they don't want to talk about that. They just keep pushing forward.
I think that I think I had one of these moments when I realized something about myself, and it was kind of humbling. It was very definitely humbling. That I realized that I've started a lot of things, but I hadn't finished them. Why is that? Or even your mom asked me one time, you know, okay, so you
I'm not really sure what you want to do, because you don't, you haven't finished those things. You started off in one direction and then you stopped. And I had to think about that. That really kind of hit me between the eyes. And she was right, you know. When you get a good glimpse of yourself in the mirror and you realize that, okay, maybe you're a procrastinator. Yes, I have been. Maybe you've been a little bit fearful of stepping out and sticking your stake in the ground and saying, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to tell the world about it. And yeah, I've hesitated doing that. So yeah. I've needed to really take a hard look at what it is that I am doing in the face of the challenge of you know, making some progress in a particular area and confronting fears and all that kind of stuff. And the thing of it is, I don't think you really understand where they all came from. We all have various fears over certain things, and if someone were to ask us, where did that start? How did that come about? Many of us can't tell you. Doing that type of thing, just I get to a certain point and I freeze. Okay, and I say, why do you freeze? I don't know. I just do. And the journey into that, into darkness, where you discover what is it that's causing you to freeze up, and how do you need to change? What do you need to do in order to change that, so that your life takes a dramatic turn in a different direction, where you're actually making progress on stuff? That's monumental, and that means changing or disrupting the patterns of a lifetime, especially when you're as old as I am, when you think about how long you've been doing things a certain way and haven't really thought about why you've done them that way, but you just have.
I feel the same way as far as, like, I mean, I've run a company, but I didn't come up with it really myself. I just followed along. Not really. I mean, I was a co-founder, right? But it wasn't like what I would have done it on my own? No, not in a million years. So it was a nice taste of what it's really like, and it's mm-hmm. hard. But if you love it, you can do it. So, I mean, I've reshaped my, you typically get that question from the other types of people. The non-entrepreneur types will say, what have you done? Where's the proof? Where's the book? Where's the business? Where's the money? And what they don't understand is, just like you were saying, how you were going from writing a poem to writing a novel, is building a company in, from my perspective, where I'm standing right now, which probably will change as time passes, is all about the day in, day out, being consistently going in a direction. That direction can change. Sometimes it will do a complete 180. But as long as you're pushing it in a certain direction, you or don't worry about any of the other stuff. And I've learned, because in my past, I would write all the things that I was going to do to get to my goal all the way up to completion. And then start step one, it would all fall apart because it's like, well, I didn't really anticipate this. And it's like, okay, don't write it as deep as the ocean. Right. The first step that you have to do. And then if you are so inclined and this actually happens and you know the next two or three steps, write those down. But nothing beyond that. Don't dedicate effort towards that, because it's not that it doesn't, you know, like taking that first step illuminates what the next step will be. And so that's the one thing that I've learned that I think is more important than anything I've ever learned. It's not an evaluation of, where's the product? It's, are you progressing your business? Like for me, building all this stuff to even see if I have something that's viable, it takes a long time, right? It's written in four different languages. You're doing it on your own. I love it and I'm having fun, which, realizing at the end of the day, is the only thing that really matters.
Right.
And you'll get there. I think you just open your eyes and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm publishing my book, right? I don't think it happens. Well, I set my goal. Like, tell me if you've heard this. Have you ever heard an author say, I set on first on the first book, right? Because I think with time, they develop their skill to where they can say, I'll write this in a year, and then they get everything. But on the first time they do it, they would say, I set my goal here. I wrote all this stuff. I finished my book. It was done. It was great. It was complete. I knew every single step, how long it was going to take. There were no issues. Like, I just don't think that happens. I don't think it's... No. I think you get the snapshot of success, but you don't see the journey. Like, if you made the journey into a movie, nobody would watch it because it's very boring. It's day in, day out. Mm. And all the days I don't want to do it are the only days that matter.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
so, I mean, I think we'll talk more about it next time. I think even the talking about how the podcast is going to change is going to take a few episodes to discuss. Because I don't even know. If you ask me right now, I could say next steps, but it's like, I don't know that I feel that I've gotten to the next level. I just know that we're not struggling with running a podcast. I think that was the very first problem, and we've done that successfully. So yeah, I don't know. I think we'll just keep talking about it.
Okay. Next.
Not forever. I think for like one or two other episodes, and then I think it'll start to gel as where we want to take it next.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
All right, man.
All right.
Sounds good.
Bye.